Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. Always like to get together with our listeners. And it's Friday, the end of the week. A lovely weekend ahead. Hey, does it get any better?
My headline that caught my eye this morning, the biggest or second biggest real estate company on the planet, the CEO has resigned. Evergrande, boss exits.
Oh, the Evergrande thing. Okay, because we haven't talked about Evergrande for a few weeks, but that's been an ongoing post-bubble contraction. And once these things get started, there's no denying it.
This phenomena in China of the empty cities they've built, cities for 300,000 to a million people where there's 25 people living, maybe 1,000 if they're lucky, that's come back to bite them now.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it reminds of in the 1873 bubble, of which one of the big groups was railroads. So everybody was building railroads, and then the really wealthy guy, Vanderbilt, looked at it and said, you know, once everything was heading down and crashing, and his comment was along the lines, there was no point in building railroads from nowhere to nowhere. And in China, they're not just building railroads from nowhere to nowhere, they're building roads from nowhere to nowhere. And then at each end, there's empty apartment and condo buildings. It's unbelievable.
And with the condos being unfinished, they're subject to weather damage, water leaks, and so on.
Oh, yeah.
So if people go and inspect the property they've bought, they're going to see rusty rebar sticking out of a wall.
Yep. They will eventually be demolished, I would guess. Or standing relics of folly. Who knows? Mm-hmm. One way or the other.
Headline that caught your attention. A poll has found 78% of voters say President Biden is on the wrong track. Did it start on his very first day in office when he canceled the XL pipeline that would have taken Alberta crude down to Louisiana for processing?
Yeah, it was amazing. And his administration has done everything it can to shut down, constrain the oil and gas sector. Of course, Trudeau has been doing the same thing as well. So then, it is amazing that you have an administration, and with the Democrat Party, the leadership now is in the far left, and they hate America. They hate the middle classes, and they want to destroy it all. So it's astounding. And what do they end up with? Control. And they don't care whether it's a third world hellhole or not, so long as they control it. Now you take a look at Biden, who has done his best to shut down the oil and gas industry in America, and yet he goes out and pleads for supplies from dictatorships such as Venezuela or Iran. I only came to me just the other day that the reason why they continue this is that they can control Americans. They can't control folks in Iran or Venezuela or Russia. So this is why the constraints against oil and gas continue. It is to control Americans, and it's disgusting.
Friend of the show, Ted Dixon, in our interview yesterday pointed out neither the Canadian or U.S. governments have a transition plan if you want to go from fossil fuels to electric vehicles. Don't forget, it took us 100 years almost to get rid of horses. like the automobile was invented in the late 1800s. The Germans were still using horses to draw their artillery and bring their supplies to the Russian front. They were still horse dependent, so that's 40 years after the automobile was invented. Some parts of the world, they're still using animals to haul supplies around. It takes a while to make a major transition.
Well, in the case of the new energy plans, is that it will take so much copper for making wires. The building of one of those huge wind turbines takes immense amounts of cement, which requires a lot of energy to make, immense amount of rebar, then all of the plastic that goes into the big blades and everything, and you get into, and then to generate enough, this the so-called turbine wind farms have to be huge. So there's two aspects to the hysteria about energy, Jim. One is that they want to change it. They have this idea that wind and solar is free. It ain't free. And also that it's environmental, but the amount of mining need to be done to satisfy this mania is staggering. They don't think about that. Now, here's the other thing, is that you want to have an energy system that creates more energy than it takes to run it. Now, all of these things, windmills or solar cells, it takes more energy to get it set up and going than you get out of the system. It's just totally insane. And it comes down to efficiencies, and efficiencies are coal, oil, natural gas, that sort of stuff, wind power, and nuclear power. So, I know the other one. I was talking to a friend recently here who is a very brilliant engineer, and he was pointing out that at the forefront, the new modular nuclear electrical power plants are very safe, really work, and can be built most anywhere and then added to. And the new system is very important because it becomes more efficient. Now, the part that I had missed about nuclear power is, since following the war, any country that got into designing nuclear electrical plants chose the system that ended up creating weapons-grade uranium for bombs. So this is where, until recently, those were the main kind of electrical plants. But the new ones, they don't use that. They don't need to end up with uranium 308 or whatever it is. Now, what they use and can use and will use is all of the old so-called waste uranium. And so then the recent rise in uranium price was on speculation that the world is going to shift over to electrical power fueled by nuclear fission, which is going to require uranium. So the reason why a commodity price goes up is to prompt expansion of the product, you know, either discover more or build more plant and stuff like that. So then the rally, I think it only got into April or something like that for uranium. It's had quite a correction since. But it was based on an error. And the error being that there's going to be a shortage of uranium. But not so. Yes, there will be increasing nuclear plants around the world, this just makes sense. You got a continuous operation, and you turn the tap on, and it keeps going. So, but the street as yet doesn't understand that all of the waste uranium is fuel for these new systems. So it's going to be fun to watch this one. I think uranium, all the commodities are going to go down after August anyways because we're in a post-bubble contraction. But the story about uranium was an error.
Headline, U.S. federal tax collection set record high through June. Well, also here in Canada, the federal gasoline tax is a percentage of the sale, including the GST, the goods and services tax on it. Remember when Chrétien said he would never charge a tax on a tax? Well, subsequent governments have never removed that policy.
Oh, yeah. Tax on a tax. Can you believe it? But on the U.S. headline, the predatory side of the political equation, which depends on tax revenues, is doing well. All kinds of money flowing in at the moment. And then, of course, the governments are always so ambitious that they can only push taxation rates to the point of pain, and then they supplement it by depreciating the currency. So this is classic stuff, Jim. I can trace it back to Rome. Ancient Rome, 2,000 years ago, grind as much in taxation as you can get, and then when that's inadequate, depreciate the currency, which is they got going now. However, what you have now with this is that the final burst of intrusion by the government, funded by massive inflation, prompts wild financial markets. And then when they come down and it can't be resisted, then you get the financial collapse, the economic collapse, such there is no money to fund a big government. And this is where ordinary folk will say, hey, you guys are out of here. So as I say, I've traced it back to Roman times, and I can just see it coming. Sure, there's popular uprising recently. But wait until we get into the real hardship of a recession, and folks in Canada are going to be looking at the crazies in Ottawa and say, you know, you're going to shut down, you're doing your best to shut down oil and gas, mining of all kinds, plus they want to, well, now they're moving with this nitrogen story to shut down agriculture. So they are truly mad. But here's another point, Jim, is that on the political spectrum now, the opposing side is big government and the other side is less government. And each side thinks that it's crazy. Now, all you have to do is look in history, and in intrusive government by control freaks destroys the economy, and it destroys prosperity. Whereas if you have freedom, you will have prosperity. So those who want to destroy freedom and prosperity are obviously the insane side of the equation. Mm-hmm. So,
I would imagine, Bob, politicians, most of them have never heard of the Laffer curve, a theory formulated by supply side economist Arthur Laffer, that showed that at 22%, a 22% taxation rate actually raises the most money for government, because when people have cash in hand, they go out, they generate more economic growth and so on. And when taxation hits 43% or more, they lose money. But none of them realize that. And in Ottawa, they also think there's three different taxpayers. One who pays municipal taxes, one who pays state or provincial taxes, and then those who pay to the federal government. There's just one poor little taxpayer.
Yep.
And they flog it like a dead horse. We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Just continuing with the Laffer curve thing, when Stephen Harper lowered the corporate tax in Canada and it was lower in the U.S., hundreds of U.S. head offices moved to Canada, creating loads of economic growth. I remember Burger King and places like that moved to Canada. I don't know if they've moved out again. But when you have an encouraging tax regime that recognizes that small business especially, which creates over 70% of jobs, is the engine of the economy, you're not going to have control of your finances.
No.
But you notice you don't see the Prime Minister cutting the ribbon when Bob and Ella open their new computer store.
Yeah.
But when Amazon comes home or builds a giant factory, they're there. But they actually suck money out of your local economy.
Yeah, and then also major corporations, even, well, outside of the big tech companies like Disney, have gone woke. So they've become, head office has become politically ambitious. And it's absolutely astounding. But the, you know, I know, this reminds of the definition of fascism. And I've had this in my head for ages, and have used it for ages. And a while ago, I think I tried to find the source of it, and I couldn't. But it is a very elegant description of fascism. The combination of big government and big business. And that's what the whole COVID game has been about. Big government and big business. And millions of small businesses have been wiped out. It's a tragedy beyond imagination.
Headline, Ukraine farmers are the latest target of Russian missiles that are setting fire to their wheat fields.
Yep. Time for harvest. The field, the stocks will be all dry. And why not mess up agriculture? So, again, this is an example of authoritarians being fully evil. And in their mind, the objective is control, and how they get there doesn't matter. So, and it is a tragedy. I mean, God, the farmers face, you know, hail, rain, twisters, grasshoppers, drought, blight, drought, all kinds of things. And then to go along, and then these guys start firing missiles to ignite fires in the grain fields. I mean, it's terrible, terrible stuff.
Headline, U.S. home builder sentiment plunges.
Yeah, I think that's an important one. You're at the uphill side now with interest costs going up. And the new people can't afford to buy. So now I remember here in Vancouver in 1980, a friend of mine was in property development here in Vancouver. And then it started to, with the rise in rates in 1980 was incredible. And maybe money was costing 20-22% or something like that. But then the guys speculating in real estate in Vancouver were all confident that the moment interest rates went down, real estate would go back up again, not understanding that in any boom, in anything, as it peaks out, short rates such as treasury bills go up, and then when the party's over, short rates go down, along with whatever the wild hot asset price was. So here in Vancouver, after the peak in 1980, I sort of kept track of things ages ago, and up in the British properties, which is semi-high-end stuff with business executives on expense accounts, the prices of these lovely homes fell to one-third of the high. And then also, back then, there was a story that the Financial Post covered for a few years, and their high-end area in Toronto, Forest Hills or something or other, and some speculator guy, promoter guy, was on the wrong side of the law. So his house was seized by the mortgage holder trust company, and by the time they offloaded it, and this was in Toronto, the price of that house was down to one-third of the high. And then I checked with people like in Vancouver in ordinary but nice districts, Kerrisdale, more modest homes, they fell in half. So a decline in most real estate prices would be likely as this post-bubble contraction continues.
Another headline, the public confidence in the media has plunged to a fresh low in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what they're seeing is like CNN, when it started decades ago, was the first to report fresh news on TV. And it was good. It was just reporting. And then with the great experiment in authoritarian government, former journalists have become political activists posing as journalists. So it's, who knows, 98% left. But the ordinary folks are seeing through it and say, this is disgusting. I saw something about viewership at CNN. It was down to 75,000 or something like that. And so how long they can stay alive, I don't know, but it would be refreshing if they went broke and shut down. But also on the other side of this, with the internet, you have all kinds of citizen journalists there with cell phones getting images and writing blogs and everything else. So there's a whole way of getting proper news and opinion out, and it's bypassing the monopoly that the leftist governments, and let's call it their tame media, have been able to force upon us over the last 30 years or so. But it's happened before, and then the public sees through it and shuts it down. If we got a moment, I'll add another little more to this, is that the 1500s was one of these horrendous centuries where governments go crazy and massive depreciation, and then finally the public gets fed up. So in the early 1600s, there was quite a prosperous middle class developing with individual families in London making a lot of money. So with a lot of money, they become independent, and they knew that their freedom was essential. So they would publish books or pamphlets and stuff like that, and then the state, then even the British crown, couldn't handle that. So there was an old agency called the Star Chamber, and it was headed up by Archbishop Laud, who was a nasty dude. And if you didn't toe the right political line, you had your face branded and your ears lopped off. So, I mean, it was very serious stuff. But nevertheless, the urge for freedom continued. But it was easy then. All the independent folks, the middle classes, they then got their publications, books, pamphlets, and everything else printed in Holland, which was the bastion of freedom in those days. So eventually, ordinary folk got around the power of the state. And at that time, it was state and church. So the Anglican Church had thousands of ministers in their pulpits every Sunday pushing out the propaganda about how wonderful the crown was and all that sort of stuff. But ordinary folk got around it, and it was eventually culminated with the called the Glorious Revolution in 1688, where the last absolutist king wisely saw the tide against him and removed himself to France. And this is where what's facing us now. Here you've got absolutist prime minister with Trudeau, and you have an absolutist president with Biden, and the forces are building against them. I hope they soon see it. Of course, you've got election in the U.S. in November. That's going to be a massive change, and I think the Trudeau government is just going to, minority government is just going to fall on its own weight, so we'll see what happens there. Hey, this is quite a show, Jim.
And a headline that brought you a chuckle, it's a typical summer in the stock market.
Oh, yeah. Jim, that's the safest forecast that any researcher can do. At the beginning of your summer, you say, hey, it's going to be a typical summer in the financial markets. And the backup to that is if you're on a rally, then the media will report it as a typical summer rally. And if you're on a correction or going down or sideways, then it is typical summer doldrums. And, hey, my forecast worked out because we've had typical both. So we've had a typical summer.
Bob, always interesting to chat with you. Always an interesting historical business lesson.
Thanks, Jim. Look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.